Welcome to Let's Talk Sales, the podcast that's all things sales and business development. This podcast series is for CEOs that are looking to build strong companies, sales VPs and sales managers that want to take things to the next level, and salespeople that are looking to improve. This podcast today was brought to you by Calavia, the sales playbook platform made for your team by your team. The Calavia sales playbook houses your company's best practices, templates, and processes. And it also functions as an online sales training academy for existing and new hires. Learn more at calavia.com. That's CollaVia.com. Today's podcast is part of our Sales Leaders Talk Sales series, where we talk about business growth and lessons learned with top sales leaders. This is Rebecca Smith from Criteria for Success. And today I'm talking to Evan Weinberg, Channel Partner Manager of EventMobi. Charles Bernard, our CEO, met Evan at a rental and staging network conference over the summer. And Evan has really been amazing and has been a great resource to us ever since. So Evan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
I'm very excited. So I'd love for you to tell our audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. So as you said, I'm the channel partner manager for EventMobi. EventMobi is a meeting and event technology company that helps event planners increase engagement at their events, drive new revenue opportunities, and collect data and analytics to help prove that their events were successful. And my role here as channel partner manager is to work with our reseller partners and third-party planners to help them get the most out of our platform for their clients.
Awesome. And your app is super cool, I have to say. I have seen it myself, and it is perfect and amazing for people that are looking to host an event, that are hosting events, that do conferences and trade shows and things of that nature. So if that's what you're looking to accomplish today, definitely give Evan a ring over at EventMobi because he's got some good stuff going on.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Yeah, Appreciate the plug. <laughs> Of course. Happy to. So Evan, we're going to learn lots from you in this session today. I'm really excited about that. And I'd love to start by having you tell us a little bit about your earliest sales memory, whether it was good or bad. Tell us something. What was your earliest sales memory?
All right. I don't know if this is earliest one, but one of the ones that sticks out was a bunch of years ago, I was trying to pay off some student loans, and I was doing some door-to-door sales, some sort of lawn work. So we would talk to the homeowner, we would close the sale, we would do the work right there, and then we would leave. So it was sort of very straightforward, honest work. They saw us do the work, they made sure it was okay. Nothing sketchy as door-to-door stuff sometimes is, but it was 100% commission job, and we actually had to pay to rent the equipment. So if you didn't make any sales, you were actually out $10 for the day. So there was a lot of motivation, and a bad day was a really, really bad day. So I had one day, we typically, I was closing on average sort of 10 to 12 deals a day. That was sort of where I was at. And I had one day where we had started at about 8 a.m. and at about 5 in the afternoon, I hadn't closed a single thing. So that's, I don't know how many hours that is of just walking around, pushing the equivalent of a very heavy lawnmower, and just getting rejected for the entire day. And I talked to a woman who heard me out politely and said, oh, you know what? Last week, literally a van of people pulled up here. About six people got out with the same machine as yours. They talked to every single person on the street. And there's no way you're going to sell anything today. This was at about 5 o'clock. Which, as you can imagine, was pretty disheartening to hear. She sort of made it sound like it would take me about, you know, an hour or two of walking to get somewhere where this mythical van had not reached. So I said goodbye to her, and while a big part of me wanted to just kind of throw in the towel for the day, I thought, no, there's probably something out here. They couldn't have talked to everyone because I've been doing this for a while and I never talked to everyone. So there must be some people that that missed it. Maybe they saw good things about their neighbors, and you know, maybe there's still some that I can hit here. So I crossed the street and just made it sort of a mental mission to run as fast as I could, talk to as many people as I could. And shortly after that, I closed my first one, and I ended up closing the day with I think about six or seven sales before the sun went down and we had to pack it in. So it was a great lesson in getting to that point, and I think as salespeople, we've all reached that point where, you know, it's 4:59 and you're just about to shut down for the day, and you think, no, let me do one more call, and that one ends up being, you know, the best thing that's happened all week. So it was a good lesson in resilience and not listening to negativity around you, even when it was very, very pointed negativity and wow. seemed pretty relevant yeah. at the time. So that was sort of a good and bad sales memory that I always file away when I'm feeling a little bit depressed or disheartened.
That is awesome. What a great story, and good for you for having the perseverance to just keep going and say, you know what, I'm going to keep going. I don't care. This lady, she kind of gave you a little bit of head trash, even beyond the normal head trash that you had, that the day hadn't been going well, by saying, you know, don't even bother. And the fact that you stuck to it, that is fantastic. And what a great lesson.
Cool.
I love it.
There's a difference between the usual head trash of, no, we don't want your thing, and you know, doors getting closed in your face, mm-hmm. and that's your projection of career failure. So it was good to be able to come back from that.
Definitely, and you did a great job. It's funny. I had a former sales manager who used to call that kind of scenario having a bad hair day, is what he would say. You know, okay. if you'd go out there and things weren't going well, and because I was doing door-to-door cold calling essentially as well, and you know, just things weren't going well, and I called him one day and I was so frustrated, and I said, I just don't know what to do, this day is not going well. And he said, oh, you're just having a bad hair day, and kind of explained to him what that concept meant about, you know, some days are just bad and you've got to push through it. So that's fantastic. You had a bad hair day and you turned it around. It became a good hair day, actually.
I guess, yeah. Something.
So now, what role has business development played in your career?
Yeah, so I haven't always been in sales. I have about as random a career background as one can have. I did some sales early on in my career. I was a software developer for a few years after that, and then I was doing a lot of freelance work after that. So the sales has played a sort of interesting sort of underpinning to everything that I've done, because as sort of freelancer, I'm constantly selling myself to my clients for, you know, the value of the gig, selling them on the actual work that I'm producing. And even though a lot of that isn't what you would call a typical sale in terms of, you know, closing a deal and getting money, there's always selling sort of yourself as a person to be trusted, a person they want to work with, and selling the work that you're doing, that it's the quality that they want and that you're presenting it in the right way. So I view almost everything I do with a bit of a sales lens in terms of finding sort of mutually beneficial outcomes and using sales strategies to sort of have the best conversations to make sure that we're both getting what we want.
Nice, nice. And it sounds like you have a bit of a technical background as well. Has that kind of helped with the sales part of things, or do you feel like it's kind of hindered?
It certainly hasn't hindered. And when I do get into situations where, so right now EventMobi is a software company, I'm on the sales side, so I'm not really having technical conversations, but it is helpful. For example, when we have meetings with our engineers, I have a bit of background in what they do. I'm certainly not as good at it, but I sort of understand their world, and it gives me another layer to the conversation that I can have. So sales makes it very, gives you a sort of language to talk to business owners, other salespeople, and having, you know, a software, a programming background gives you a language that you can use to talk to other people on their team. So mm-hmm. I feel it sort of rounds me out a little bit. It certainly hasn't hurt in any way, other than I spent a bunch of years doing that instead of getting better at sales.
Well, that's okay. There's still time, but you're absolutely right. It's about the communication, and it sounds like having that background has helped for you to communicate the message of your technology company, perhaps much better than someone who doesn't have that background. So I think it's a benefit. I see that as a definite asset.
Okay, I'll take it.
Exactly. So now, you know, talking about, since we're talking about people with technical backgrounds and different types of backgrounds, and then sometimes people transition into sales or vice versa, that kind of thing. We want to talk about this concept of salespeople and the idea of sales. Do you believe that all people are salespeople in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I think if anyone's listening and they had an immediate sort of negative reaction to that, it's probably because there are some negative connotations that go along with the term salesperson. And mm-hmm. hopefully, if you're listening to a sales podcast, you don't really have that. But if you're if you're new to the industry or something, I think it's important to understand that what sales really is just a language and a way of communicating to come to a mutually beneficial outcome. So the more you learn about sales, you read stories about, you know, people use kids as an example all the time. I have two little kids and they are great salespeople because you're the only one who can give them what they want and they need to figure out different strategies to get it. And some of those strategies are, let's say, not the most pleasant, like kicking and screaming. And others, they turn into lawyers very quickly and find loopholes into restrictions and, you know, rules you've placed on them. And they will come up with proposals that sort of do solve all of the problems so that they get what they want and, you know, you're not having to say no to them. So I think if you look at it through that lens, in a corporate environment, you know, talking about engineers again, engineers are fantastic when it comes to thinking about new ideas and new potential, because every day they look at sort of a blank piece of code and say, I can do literally anything with this. And in order to be given the time and resources they need to do that, they have to be salespeople to their managers, to the businesses, people making the business decisions, to sort of justify why this work would be more important than maybe other options that are out there. And that, you know, from a sales point, it's not ending up with you know, a financial transaction at the end, but it's how to have the conversation so that everybody wins in the end. So yeah, I think we are all salespeople.
That's awesome. And I love your example. My dad has always told me, he's been in sales for, gosh, 50 years now, 45 years. And he's always told me very early on in my career, he said, if you want to learn how to sell, observe children. Because children, they don't have a filter. Kids, they just, it's something natural. They're working their way through it. They're trying to figure it out. And there's just this way that they can convince you of things. And when all else fails, puppy dog eyes, you know, that one works pretty well. Although I don't know that will work on prospects.
Yeah, maybe not. Not the first option anyway.
Not first option. Maybe save that for last resort, but yeah. But definitely. So now, what was the hardest lesson that you've learned so far in your career?
Yeah, the hardest one, which I've only sort of come to really understand and have made changes on recently, is that you can't do it all by yourself. So being a freelancer a lot of the time, it was just sort of me and my client, and I had to come up with sort of the entire infrastructure to support what I was doing. So I was working with clients who didn't have, you know, a CRM to track leads. They didn't have a lead list. They didn't have a marketing department, and I had to sort of do all that on my own just to get me to a place where I could sell effectively. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic challenge, and I learned about all those parts of the business, but I definitely sort of hindered myself in some respects, because now being at Event Mobi, where we do have a marketing department and a sales ops team who runs our CRM and, you know, all that infrastructure that what most of you probably take for granted as salespeople, it's amazing being surrounded by people who are all experts in those fields, to have the best sort of support mechanism possible. And then also working for people above me who have been doing this a lot longer, who are way more experienced, who have sort of seen it all, and who are very quick to notice patterns and help with planning to really accelerate my success. So that's that idea that I'll just figure it out and sort of make it happen has been one of the hardest lessons. And sort of letting go of that idea was a bit challenging, but it's been amazing having done that.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And were there any kind of resources that helped you when you were going through this experience? What did you discover?
The first thing I discovered is that people are very, very willing to help you if you ask. So admitting that you've got some holes in your game and mm-hmm. talking to the people who know how to fix them and just being open and excited to learn, that's people have been the biggest resource. Obviously, there's, you know, learning materials and things that are infinitely available on the internet, but getting that person-to-person support from people on my team when we all have the same objectives has definitely been the biggest help.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, I want to know, what are you not very good at?
Oh, a ton of stuff. the sort of sales-wise, which is, I guess is why we're here, one of the things that I'm terrible at is reporting, tracking, sort of all of that numbers-based pipeline management stuff. Because I was doing things on my own, I didn't really know for a long time what was important to track and what wasn't. And because I was, you know, some of my gigs were 100% commission, I was always sort of, any minute that I wasn't calling someone was a minute that I was not working on a deal, mm-hmm. and spending hours, you know, building out reports when I didn't really know what I should be tracking never seemed like a good use of my time. Although in hindsight, it would have been some of the best uses of my time. But that's something that I've been working on. Again, here, you know, EventMobi has an amazingly strong sort of infrastructure for that. So I've been trying to absorb as much as I can there and sort of up my game on that side.
I love it. I love that you pointed this out, because I guarantee you we have sales managers listening and that and probably CEOs too that are going, gosh, this is one of my biggest problems. My sales team, they're not tracking things in the CRM. They're not keeping track of notes and phone calls and meetings. And I have no idea what they're doing. They've gone rogue. And then there are salespeople that are listening going, I'm just trying to sell. I just want to sell. I don't have time to, you know, waste on the time I'm going to spend in the CRM or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So can you speak to that at all? Why it's so valuable? Because you mentioned briefly that now you see, looking back, how it could have made you potentially more productive. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, depending on your position, it sort of what those numbers tell you and what kind of decisions you would make on them would be very different from a salesperson's point of view. Tracking all of that behavior leads to really good insights on where you should be spending your time and where you shouldn't be spending your time. So you might run those reports for 6 months and come to realize that, you know, I think most people have heard of the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, closer to 90-10. Things like you spend 90% of your time on, you know, 10% of your deals or whatever it is. And having those reports will expose those things and make you realize that you're spending maybe a lot of time on things that don't end up producing a lot of revenue, and that if you can figure those out and make changes accordingly, you'll see a lot greater success by either doing different behavior or spending your time differently. So for me personally, understanding that at the beginning, it's sort of like budgeting. Like, people don't like having a budget because it's a lot of work and it's just sort of a grind and nobody really wants to think about it and at that level of detail. But if you understand what the outcome is and where it's going to pay off sort of at the end of the road, then doing that sort of busy work or those annoying tasks, you sort of understand why it's so important down the road. So reporting is sort of how I think about that. And once I saw a few of those insights come in, now I'm excited to, you know, make sure everything is logged and get all those different types of reports to keep track of everything.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, you know, I actually wrote a blog article on this about sales analytics, because it was something that kept coming up again and again, where salespeople felt frustrated because they were, you know, inputting all of this data and they felt like their managers weren't doing anything with the data. So if you're listening today and you're a sales manager and you're collecting this data and your salespeople are taking the time to log all of it, do something with it. That's going to help to push and forward your mission of what it is that you're going to do. One of the big things is, you know, conversion ratios. You know, actually do something with that data and say, what did we do, or what did the salesperson do this month compared to the previous months that caused them to have so much success? Was it their messaging this month? Was it their follow-up? You know, was it that they were booking more meetings? You know, what was it that was different about this month? Because using a CRM is great just for the very simplistic, at the simplest level, the notes alone, and being able to go back and say, oh, we talked about this the last time that we spoke. now this call, we're talking about this, or this meeting, we're talking about this. But beyond that, I mean, it can be used to create such a powerful opportunity for your business, but you've got to actually look at the data and use it for something. So if you're a sales manager, do your salespeople a favor and do something with that data and use it for the benefit of your salespeople. And if you're a salesperson, don't quit. It may seem like it may seem frustrating now, but I've got to tell you that that has been that was my secret weapon, was having a CRM when I was out cold calling. Because I can't tell you, there's things that you don't remember. You're not going to remember everybody's name, everybody's husbands, wives, children's, you know, all of the little tiny details you don't always remember. But if you're keeping track of it and taking notes on it before you walk back in there that second time, you pull up your CRM and say, oh, they have three kids. These are their names. Or you know that they have three kids and now on this visit, you're going to figure out what those kids' names are. This is the kind of the first step to helping to build strong relationships, because that's really what this is about, right? I mean, we're not out to just make sales for sales' sake, or maybe some people are, but the relationship is the most important aspect when it comes to selling. And if you want to have a lifelong customer, you've got to have a relationship with them. You agree with that statement?
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy not to. And I think what you were saying about sort of making sure you're actioning that data is really important. And if anyone is not doing that, what I would suggest is do a bit of sort of split testing on short term. So whether it's, you know, a cold call script and have one of your reps do one and one do the other, and then figure out, set a short time frame like 2 weeks or something, and then figure out, you know, which one's working better.
Any I love kind of that. A-B testing, right?
Yeah. Any kind of short-term experiment where you can show actual results, that will help get everyone on board. So don't plan to collect data for a year while your salespeople are skeptical about the whole thing and then promise them that in 12 months you're going to show them how it pays off. Do some of those smaller tests and experiments and just get everyone on board with the value, and then you can figure out, you know, where you want to go from there.
Awesome. That's a great tip. Fantastic. So now, what are you really great at? I mean, obviously we've heard there are some really awesome things that you've already given us. So what else you got? What are you really great at?
Yeah. So I'll let the data talk, since so I don't come off as braggy. But when part of my sales training was doing DISC assessments, and so I am a hard I type on DISC. DISC is DISC, if anybody wants to Google that, and it breaks sort of personality types into four different types. People are usually a blend of one or two of them, sometimes three. I am a hard I, which means I'm sort of great at building rapport, building trust. I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at sort of building and keeping those relationships. So as a salesperson, you know, going door to door, I don't get phone, or I don't get doors slammed in my face. When I call people, I don't get hung up on. I definitely struggle in other areas, but that sort of rapport and trust is something that is sort of part of my personality and something that definitely helps on the sales side.
You know, Evan, I had a feeling that we had something in common, and now I know. I am also an I, a very high I as well. And for those of you that are listening that don't know, Criteria for Success is also a partner with the Myers-Briggs assessments. So if you are looking to get a DISC assessment, give me a call or visit criteriaforsuccess.com. Having that data is really, really important, and knowing where your strengths and weaknesses are, not only as a salesperson, but as a manager, as a CEO, it's going to help accelerate you so much further in your career. If you know what you're really good at and what you're not, you can work to fill the gaps, of course, of what you're not good at, and continue to hone the skills of those things that you're good at. So, Evan, that's really cool. That I love that. Hi, I.
Cool. High fives.
Yeah. I love it. Now, what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite sales or business book that you'd like to share?
Good question. I used to have some. So when I first started selling, I read a whole bunch of sales books, and Brian Tracy's books were the ones that stood out as the most sort of intuitive, easy to understand, and easy to implement. I think he's considered a bit old fashioned now. It's a little bit sort of too techniquey for modern educated buyers, but those are ones that gave me my first sort of framework. The way that I think about sort of continuing education now is that there's no one book that's going to sort of fix your problems for you or give you what you need. So I've gotten really into sort of blogs and podcasts, and whenever I'm trying to learn a new skill or make a change, I find the best way is to do it through sort of brainwashing over time. So I did Sandler training, and Sandler books are generally, I find them not terribly helpful, because it's tough to take things away that you can sort of execute. It doesn't, for me anyway, it doesn't really internalize. But doing Sandler training on a weekly basis that involved a lot of role play, a lot of reinforcement, different types of media to learn, that really helped it sink in. So for what it's worth, what I would suggest is identify where your biggest weakness is right now. And it might not be the same in a couple of years. But whether it's, you know, part of your process, part of, you know, a technique, or maybe it's something with your behavior, your attitude, throwing out some more Sandler terms, find, you know, explore resources, find someone who speaks in a way that resonates with you, and then just continuously absorb their material. If they have blogs, podcasts, book series, whatever it is, just don't try and do it all at once. Don't cram in a weekend and assume your problem is fixed, but spend, you know, whatever, 10, 20 minutes a day and that constant reinforcement, I find it'll just sort of sink in, and that's how you get sort of real change and notice real benefits.
That's great advice. I love it. And yeah, it is such a different world that we're living in today with technology, right? I mean, we've got videos and podcasts and webinars and social media and all these different outlets for us to learn from. So it's really about harnessing that. And I think that if you start with where your biggest struggles are, that's definitely the best place to start is, what are my problems today? And if it's time management, you know, figuring out, all right, what can I do to shift? What is my precise problem? What is it about time management that I'm struggling with?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. So now, do you have a piece of wisdom that you'd like to pass along? That was a piece of wisdom, but here's another. This is a separate question. So give us more. Give us more.
Wisdom. That's sounds a bit presumptuous to answer that question, but one of the ways that I sort of approach everything is with that, to get a bit zen, is with that kind of beginner's mind. So I always try and assume that there's more to learn, or there's other questions I could be asking. I always assume that the people around me that I work with are smarter than I am, and that there are things I can learn from them. And I think if anytime I find myself assuming I know all the answers to something, I try and set a little alarm in my head that I'm probably limiting my thinking rather than just being as smart as I want to think I am. So I don't know if that counts as wisdom or not.
That was absolutely wisdom. I don't even know what. Yeah, that was deep. That was deep wisdom.
Great.
I can summarize it into a quote. There's always something to teach, and there's always something to learn. And that's a quote that I've heard many, many years ago that stuck with me. But I think that the heavy focus here was that there is always something to learn. Even when we think we know, there's always something to learn. So I love it. All right. And you know, Evan, that we talk quite a bit here at CFS about sales playbooks, and sales playbooks are what we believe kind of the glue that holds the whole sales idea and the processes together. And we're always looking for useful tips that sales managers or CEOs or even salespeople can share in their playbooks, that they can put in their playbooks to share with their team. What is one actionable tip that our listeners might consider adding to their playbooks? You know, whether it's a template or a particular process or an idea.
Sure. So coming from sort of a Sandler background, one of the things that I've taken from Sandler that's been the most helpful is the idea of an upfront contract. And without taking too much time, you can just Google Sandler upfront contract. But the idea is you start every conversation or every meeting establishing sort of the time of the meeting, the purpose of the meeting, the agenda that the person you're talking to wants to accomplish, the agenda that you want to go through, and then coming up with a mutual sort of desired outcome. And having that as a framework, just make sure that everybody knows where the meeting is going and all that. But the sort of subset of that that I found to be really, really helpful is a sort of pattern interrupt. Sandler talks a lot about that, is sort of responding to questions or saying things that people don't expect from a salesperson, which makes them realize that you're not a salesperson, you're just an actual person, and they're more likely to listen. So part of that upfront contract that I've been using is, first of all, admitting that you might not be a fit. So if you're going into a sales call, if it's like, you know, a meeting you set up, or maybe it's a cold call, starting out the conversation by saying, I'm not sure we're going to be able to help you, or I don't know if we've got exactly what you're looking for. And if I figure that out, if I realize that you're looking for something we can't give you, I'm just going to tell you, because I don't want to waste your time. Mm-hmm. And the sort of the other side of that is giving them permission to say no to you, and saying, if at any point, you know, if you just hear me going on and, you know, we're having this conversation and you realize that I don't have what you need, you know, are you going to be okay just telling me no? And people always laugh and say, yeah, of course I'll tell you no. But what it does is, and I've had people say it on the phone with me, that no salesperson has ever said, I might not have anything to sell you. and it immediately puts you in a different category in their minds, that you are honest, because you are, because let's face it, you don't want to sell someone something that they don't need, or that you won't be able to provide for them. And it just starts the conversation from a place of authenticity and sort of mutual respect, which are all sort of Sandler things. If you're not doing something like that, and it's sort of counterintuitive to a lot of salespeople, because everybody's moving towards a yes, and you don't want to sort of plant the seed that it might be a no, but we all know that you get a lot of no's when you're doing sales. You might as well just call it up front and build that sort of rapport and trust right from the beginning of the call. So that's something that I've been having a lot of success with, and would recommend people try out if they're not doing something similar.
I love it. And that would fall for most people, and for those of you that have Calavia sales playbooks, that would fall under the selling section. I would definitely put that information in how to run a meeting, in the running a meeting section. And you also spoke a little bit about it's kind of a go for no technique in a way, to be upfront and say, I don't know if this is going to be a fit, but let's talk. That's a great strategy. So definitely put that in yourself, the selling section of your playbook. And man, this has been fantastic. Evan, thank you so much. Once again, this is Evan Weinberg from Event Mobi, and that's spelled M-O-B-I for those of you that are listening, if you want to contact or reach out to Evan. And Evan, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. This was a ton of fun. Thanks. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. You can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod23. Be sure to tune in on Friday for a very special inspiration about goal setting. And of course, tune in on Monday for a special CFS roundtable, where our team here at Criteria for Success is going to talk all about goal setting and how to achieve your goals. And of course, all month, we are writing about goal setting on the CFS blog, so be sure to check that out at criteriaforsuccess.com/blog. Do you like what you're hearing? Please subscribe to this podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to shows. And be sure to drop us a rating if you can. We'd love to hear more about what you love about the show. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success and is produced by Rebecca Smith, Ariana Miskell, and Elizabeth Frederick. Happy selling!